Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will have the message number nine of the messages of hope, and the title of the class is What Kind of Heart You Have. All praise to Allah, our Lord, the most merciful. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn from the messages of hope about our goals in life. Over the last three previous classes, we learned about worship of Allah as the main goal and hope for every mankind. Today, inshallah, we will start to learn about health as a hope for every one of us. And actually, when we have the questionnaire, you remember 3 weeks ago, and the question was about what are your goals or hopes in life. Most of you choose health or good health as a hope in life, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide you with good health. So the question is, what is the importance of health according to the Islamic point of view? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and health. For after being granted certainty, one is given nothing better than health. Health is indeed a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we take it for granted. We should express gratitude to Allah for bestowing us with health, and we should always try to take care of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted us with our minds, our hearts, and bodies for a predestined period of time. He subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us to account on how we looked after them. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take benefit of five before five. Your youth before your old age. Your health before your sickness. Your wealth before your poverty. Your freedom before your preoccupation. And your life before your death. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no one will be allowed to move from his position on the Day of Judgment until he has been asked how he spent his life, how he used his knowledge, how he earned and spent his money, and in what pursuits he used his health. Your health is a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you must follow all the instructions of the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to maintain it in the best shape. It is the purity of the mind, the purity of the heart, and the purity of the body that Islam is calling for through the verses of the Quran and the ahadiths of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, at the beginning, I want to clarify to you the importance of health, so that you realize that having good health must be a goal of every one of us. This is from the Islamic point of view. This is number one. Number two, we must realize that health means the health of the body, the health of the mind, and the health of the heart. Because most of us believe that when we say the word health, it is the body health. This is wrong, especially in the sight of Islam. In the sight of Islam, it is mainly the heart and the mind. And this is what we will learn in this class, inshallah. In the first class related to the importance of health in Islam, we will learn about the heart, that in Islam the most important organ is the heart. And you must take care of the heart. You must take care to have a healthy heart and a sound heart according to the Islamic rules. So first we will learn about the heart And why we start with the heart, this I will clarify to you. Why, number one, as a Muslim, you must have your main concern to have a sound heart before giving all your attention to your body. It is your heart and your mind. This is what we will learn today, inshallah, about the importance of the heart. Then we will learn the types of the hearts, because there are many types of hearts. You can't imagine how many types of the heart Allah is mentioning in the Quran. You will imagine it when you will learn it, and you will learn the difference between each one of them, so that you will realize what kind of heart you are supposed to have, and in reality, what kind of heart you already have now. Okay? And then, inshallah, after we learn the difference of the different types of the hearts, inshallah, we will learn about the diseases of the hearts and how to get rid of these diseases. Because you will not have a sound heart, a healthy heart, a life heart, except when you are sure that you don't have any of the diseases. Most of the people nowadays have diseases of the hearts. When we will discuss them in details, inshallah, for example, worry, fear, envy, pride, you know, many diseases of the hearts, okay, the people are suffering of, and because of that, they are not living a life of reassurance and a life of tranquility because of the diseases of their hearts. They are not aware of this. So, at the beginning, inshallah, we will learn all this knowledge, and then, inshallah, we will learn about our body, how to have a healthy body, so that, inshallah, you have a healthy heart, a healthy mind, and a healthy body, so that, inshallah, you will have the full health, and, inshallah, you will be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this health. So now we will start with the heart, and, inshallah, inshallah, we will learn the following. Number one, the importance of the heart in Islam. Rules regarding the great favor of the heart over the all the other body parts. We will learn now from five rules which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Rule number one, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, both legal and illegal things are evident, and in between them there are suspicious things. Most of the people have no knowledge about them. So whoever saves himself from these suspicious things saves his religion and his honor. Beware, there is a piece of flesh in the body. If it becomes good and sound, the whole body will become good. But if it gets corrupt, the whole body becomes corrupt, and that is the heart. So this is rule number one, clarifying the importance of the heart and over the other parts of the body. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in this hadith that halal, lawful, is clear, and the haram, lawful, is also clear. From the rules of the Quran, you can learn what is halal and what is haram. Okay? But in between them, there are some suspicious areas, not known to most of the people. What is the meaning of these, sisters? I need to clarify this to you, so that, inshallah, you know, there will be no confusion about the meaning. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us that, you know, there must be no mixing between men and women. Okay? This is Islam. As Muslims, we must follow this. But mostly, we are living in the suspicion related to this topic. Okay? How? Through having a different rule, which is when we will invite couples, men will sit on one side, women will sit on the other side, and they will not talk together. Okay? This is a situation of suspicion. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded that there is no mixing at all. This room where men and women are together, but they are separated with a space, is a form of mixing. Why? Because I can see the other man. Okay? He can look to me. He can you know, have a look on how I look, okay, whatever, okay. So this is the situation of suspicion, okay. The meaning of suspicion is that you are not following the rule clearly, okay. There is some deviation. This is alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the situation of suspicion. Most of the people are not aware of this, okay. So when you tell to the sisters, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as we learn, alhamdulillah, we are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we love to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must follow His rules. Okay, so when Allah commanded us not to mix, we must not mix. We must not feel that this is against civilization. Okay, because the civilization means mixing and everyone has good intention. You are sure of your intention, but you are not sure of other people's intentions. Okay, so as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must follow the rule of no mixing. But to have another rule out of this rule with a deviation that we will be always together, but you know there is something in between us, this is the situation of suspicion. Okay? So this is the meaning of suspicion that most of the people are not aware of. And they are always after mixing in one room. Okay, whenever you visit anyone, you and your husband, me and my husband, they will tell us, Mona, sit in this corner with the other wives, and your husband will sit in the other corner in the of the room with the husbands, because you know, Mona, we don't mix. Yes, we are followers. We never mix, Mona. No, you are mixing. Okay, this is the situation of suspicion. Just I want to clarify to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clarifying to us the halal and the haram because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to protect us from the haram, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us all the time to be in the halal rules of the Quran. Okay? But you must need the knowledge in order to follow the halal and haram. But beyond the knowledge, it is the state of your heart. Okay? Why? Because if your heart is good, then you make use of the knowledge and you avoid what is prohibited. And if the heart is bad, then the knowledge is of no benefit because it will indulge in what is prohibited. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this, now most of the Muslims have the knowledge, but they are not following any of it because of their hearts. Because there is no sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you ask any sister, are you reciting a Quran every day? She will tell you, no, I am not. So you tell her, but you know, sister, the Quran is the healing and the Quran is the cure and the Quran is the mercy. Do you know this? She will tell you, yes, very good. So why you are not reciting Quran? Because I don't have time, because I am very busy, because. No, sister, because you have a problem in your heart. Because you are not sincere, and because actually the truth is not clear for you. If the truth is clear for you, if you know your duty in this life, if you know that you are a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you know that the Quran is the book of the mercy, the Quran is the way of your life, if you know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complained in Surah Al-Furqan from the Muslims to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they forget about the Quran, if you know all of this, sister, you will recite the Quran. Okay? But we mostly have the knowledge, but we don't have the sincerity in our hearts. So it is the problem of the heart. This is the form of the diseases of the heart. The knowledge is there, but the heart is not interested and is not sincere. Okay? So rule number one is that the most important in your body is your heart. Number two, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the last pilgrimage, Hajj, informed his companions and the nations of the Muslims that there is no favor or no special place of the Arab over the non-Arab, nor any favor or special position of the white over the black, but that favor in the sight of Allah, it was those who fear Him, those who have taqwa. Okay? After bearing witness to that, he said that taqwa is in the heart. Because taqwa is in the heart, so it is the place of concern in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah doesn't look at your shapes or wealth, but He looks at your hearts and deeds. Okay, I am giving you sisters at the beginning of the classes of health, the proof that if you are looking for your health, number one, you must be sure that you have a healthy heart, a sound heart, a heart which is not having any of the diseases which you will learn now. So we are learning the importance of the heart in Islam. Okay? If I believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't look at my shape or my wealth, but Allah look at my heart and my deeds, okay, and I believe that my deeds are according to my belief, which is in my heart, so I will believe that the most important in Mona is her heart. Because if the heart is sound, if I have a believing heart, okay, my deeds will be good deeds, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look to me, He will find inside me a good heart and good deeds. Okay, in spite of the fact maybe my shape is not good, my wealth is not good, Allah doesn't look at my shape or my wealth, so I have to have, my main concern is to have a healthy, alive, sound, good heart. Okay, this is rule number two. Rule number three, a righteous believer said, I came to the Messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, and he, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to her, you have come to ask about rightness. Rightness. She said, yes. He said, consult your heart. Rightness is that about which the soul feels tranquil and the heart feels tranquil. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised her to consult her heart. Okay? This is rule number three. Rule number four, the heart is the place by which the correctness of the deeds is judged. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, deeds are judged according to the intention. The place of the intention is not on the lips, the place of the intention is the heart. This hadith in full is the reward of the deeds depends upon the intention. Every person will get the reward according to what he has intended. So whoever immigrates for Allah and His Messenger, then his immigration is for Allah and His Messenger. And whoever immigrates for worldly benefits or for a woman to marry, his immigration was for what he immigrated for. This is the hadith which is number one in all of the books of the hadith. The hadith of actions are but by intention. Okay? So, actually this hadith was related to a reality which happened at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Muslims were immigrating from Mecca to Medina, escaping the bad treatment in Mecca and planning to have a new place in Medina and to start the Muslim Ummah in Medina. Many Muslims immigrated from Mecca to Medina at that time, but not all of them will have the reward of the immigration with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The question is why. Some will have the reward of that great deed, some will not have that great reward. The answer is that deeds are not judged by their outside or external appearance. Instead, they are judged according to the intention. Those whose heart's intention was to immigrate for Allah's sake, to escape the tough life which Muslims were suffering in Mecca, And also their intention was to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina, they will have the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But those who also immigrated at the same time from Mecca to Medina, but their intention was not for the sake of the religion. The intention, one of them actually is known. He immigrated for the sake of marrying a woman who already immigrated. He was in love of a woman in Mecca. That woman immigrated to Medina, so he immigrated for her sake, to marry her. So that man, his intent in his heart was that he wants to follow that woman to marry her, not for Allah's sake. If you look to him from the external, externally, you will say, this man is immigrating for the sake of Allah. This is your point of view, the external one. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows his intention, because in his heart, his intention was that he is immigrating for the sake of the woman. Accordingly, he will not have any reward. Okay? Also, some people were immigrating for the sake of trade in Medina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reward them, because their intention, the intention in their hearts, was not for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it was for the worldly benefits. And again, sister, here, if I stop for few minutes, we must learn this, and actually I clarify this fact when we learn about the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that your intention in everything and every deed must be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, you will never get any benefit from any of your deeds, even your prayer and your fasting, if you are not doing these deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for the sake of showing off, or for the sake of being with your friends, or for the sake of any worldly benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not reward from you any, will not accept from you any of these deeds, and will not reward you for it. And the reason behind this, sisters, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in this worldly life to worship Him, as we learn in the classes of worship. This is the goal of our creation, to worship none but Allah. So when you do any deed or you say anything, it must be for the sake of the one who created you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't accept any partner with Him. So if you have any partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are looking for that partner to have any benefit from him, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be part of this company. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't accept any deed to be done for his sake plus. There is no plus with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you do any deed, you must do it only for the sake of Allah. If you are a believer in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are looking for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise there will be no meaning for any of your good deeds if your intention is not pure for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This must be clear for every one of us. Otherwise, on the Day of Judgment, many people will be surprised because they will not find any good deeds in their scale. And when they will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the answer will be deeds or actions are but by intention. And your intentions was not pure, were not pure for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So most of your deeds were not accepted. Okay? This is the importance of the knowledge. When I learn this, okay, I must have the intention when I wake up in the morning at Fajr prayer, before Fajr prayer, oh Allah, all my deeds today and my sayings are for your sake only. I am not looking for any good word from anyone, from any gift from anyone, from any help from anyone, from any reward from anyone. I am looking only for your reward, O Allah, my only Lord. Okay? This must be the intention of everyone at the beginning of every day, so that inshallah all the good deeds will be in your scale on the Day of Judgment. And this is the importance of the pure heart. Because the pure heart will believe in the oneness of Allah. So the intention of the pure heart will be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The corrupted heart will be after the worldly life. So the intention will be to please that sister so that she will help me when I am needing help. Or to please my husband so that he will buy for me a good gift. Or to please my kids so that when I need them, they will return it to me back. This is all is against the belief in the oneness of Allah and that our life is an act of worship to Allah. I am looking for the reward only from Allah. My intention for all my deeds or for the sake of Allah. Otherwise, sister, you will never feel that you are close to Allah and near to Allah. If you are not close to Allah or near to Allah, this means that you don't have a healthy, sound, alive heart, and we will learn about these kinds of hearts soon, inshallah, in next class. Rule number 5 about the importance of the heart over the rest of the body is that our deeds, what we do externally, are judged by the states of our heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspect the hearts to determine whether they are truly the acts of purity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order to imagine the importance of the intentions of your heart regarding your final destination, let us learn this important hadith which is related to the first people who would be cast into the hellfire. These people were involved in what everybody considers great acts of righteousness. They are the scholar who taught knowledge and the wealthy person who gave from his wealth in charity. Now I will clarify to you, sisters, the importance of the pure intention and how there are many peoples around us whom they are involved in the best deeds externally. Those whom they are calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those whom they spend in charity in the masjids. Okay? So externally, when you see these people, you say, MashaAllah, Allah loves these people. This will be, you know, the people of the paradise because of their good deeds. In reality, many of them will be the first people to be thrown in the hellfire. Okay? So let us learn this hadith so that, inshaAllah, every one of us will save herself from the hellfire. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in an authentic narration said that they would be among the first group of people thrown in the fire, that scholar. When he taught the knowledge that Allah gave him, he didn't do so for the sake of Allah. Instead, he taught so that people would praise him, saying, "What a great scholar he is, and how knowledgeable he is." Allah will say to him, "You received your praise in the worldly life, but there is nothing for you in the next." So he will be drawn off on his face and thrown into the hell. I will continue for you the hadith, then I will explain it for you in details, inshallah, so that we get its benefit. Similarly, the rich individual who was generous with his wealth, he gave money and people praised his generosity. But Allah will say, "You did it for the praise and you were praised." I want you to notice what I am saying or what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying. He did for the praise and he was praised. There was no sincerity there. It was not for the sake of Allah. Your generosity was conditional. It was not really for Allah. That individual will be drawn off on his face and thrown into the hell. Okay, so I need to clarify to you this hadith, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in more details, so that you realize why those people especially will be the first ones to be thrown in the hellfire and dragged on their faces. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed these people, one of them with the knowledge and one of them with the wealth. These blessings are owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of us own anything in this life. Everything is owned by Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing these people with these blessings. One with the knowledge and one with the wealth. Okay? Those people, instead of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that blessings, okay, and clarifying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they know that it is out of His mercy. Whatever blessing you have in this life, it is out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None is supposed to say, I am knowledgeable because I am reading in the Quran day and night, because I read the tafsir, because I memorize the Quran. This is not accepted from the believer who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is actually blessing us or sending to us all the blessing, because He is the owner of the blessing. He is the owner of everything. So He will honor me with the time. He will honor me with the peace of mind. He will honor me with the book. He will honor me with everything. Okay, then, alhamdulillah, I will be the one to have the knowledge out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I believe that whatever knowledge I have is out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I must use it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My intention must be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never for praising from the people. I am not looking for anything from the people. Why, sisters? Because people are just handful of dust. They don't own anything. They don't have a will. They don't have a power. They have no rule. It is all out of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the belief of the one who has the knowledge. Because this is my belief, I will be never looking for any praise from the dust. Because they are just dust. All my deeds are only for the sake of the only power, the only will, the most merciful who gave me the knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the believer must believe in his mind. But when you observe a scholar calling people for Allah for the sake of the praise, this means that he doesn't have any benefit from his knowledge. So he must be in the hellfire. This is why Allah will throw the first one in the hellfire, that scholar. Subhanallah. And because of that, sisters, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very critical. Because if you are not sure that you will be sincere and you will never be deviated according to who are praising me when I come to main center, I will be so praised by the sisters. So I like to give my classes in the main center. But when I go to Masjid Hamza, I have few sisters. So I will not go to Masjid Hamza. I am after the praising of the people. This equals that you will be dragged to the hellfire. So if you are not sure that your intention is only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be aware of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise you will be from the first people to be thrown in the hellfire. This is number one regarding calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the scholars. Okay. Number two, regarding the wealthy people whom they are giving for the sake, giving in charity. In charity. Okay. When you become wealthy, you must realize how you collect your money. Who helps you to collect that money? Number one, all the wealth on the earth is owned by Allah, the owner of you and your wealth, because you are just a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns the money, why, when you give it to the people, you are looking for praise from the people? It is not your money. It is the money of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you must give it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because of that, those whom they have the wealth, and they are looking, when you give charity in the masjid, this what is going on in the fundraising. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the one to judge those whom they go to fundraising and stand up in front of everyone. I will give $10,000. you get the reward to the hellfire. You see? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most important is the sincerity in your heart. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to have a lot of wealth, you must believe that it is His wealth. So when you give it to the people, hide it. Go to the office and tell to the man, I want to give $10,000, but don't write my name at all. It is not my money. It is the money of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am giving it to him back, and he will reward me 700 for every dollar. You see? This is those whom they are the true believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the people wealth, then they want the praise, no problem. Get the praise. But this what you were looking for, enough is enough. Allah will never reward you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you don't use the wealth for His sake, His wealth, those people will be thrown in the hellfire. The very critical point here, sister, is that those people externally are doing good deeds, but their intention is not good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be very critical with the good deeds. Don't do good deeds for the sake of the human being. What is the meaning of this? Okay? Why we play this game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I am not supposed, if I am a true believer in Allah, how I will come to the masjid because I want everyone to say, this sister is mashallah, this sister is mashallah. What is this? Why to use the masjid against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why to use the money of Allah against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why to show off with the people and not to work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is a sign of hypocrisy, which is used in the good deeds, not in the bad deeds, in the good deeds. So those people deserve the hellfire because they don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to do a good deed, either do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or don't confuse the people. Because this is confusion. When someone will stand and say, I give 10,000 in front of everyone, okay, the one sitting beside him will say, I also want to give whatever I have, 1,000. I want everyone to praise me. Then it will be all charity for the sake of the praising of the people. What is the meaning of this? Charity, which is supposed to be only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now people are doing it for the sake of the praising of the people. Are those people whom they are giving their charity in fundraising are aware that they will be in the hellfire? If their intention is to have the praise from the people? So every one of us must know this basic knowledge. If I am not sure of my intention, if I am a weak human being, as all of us are weak human beings, everyone likes people to praise him, okay? And I know that I am weak, and if I go to fundraising, I notice that people are praising those whom they are giving, I will be out of control standing and saying, I will also give, I will never go to fundraising. And in reality, I am always saying to those people in the masjid, never to make fundraising. Just announce, if you want to give money, charity, for the sake of Allah, go and give it in the office. Go and give it to the imam. And don't mention your name. If it is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So,
they also know these things, right?
Yes.
And why they are doing this?
I tell you why.
Fundraising. You know, they say most of the time those people are not that much. Those people who give enough money, they say that the person should be thankful to. You know, Allah gave him enough to contribute. And it is also to say thank you.
Yes,
generously.
But
that is what they say.
Yes, but I want to tell you one thing. Number one, nobody knows the real intention of those people except Allah, because their intention
exactly.
In their hearts.
Exactly.
So I cannot judge You get my point? Because no one can judge the deeds of anyone or the actions, because only Allah knows the intention. Even the angels, the right and the left, they don't know the intention. They were right that so-and-so gave $1,000 for the sake of Allah. Then on the day of judgment, it will be accepted or not according to the intention which only Allah knows. Okay? This is number one. Nobody knows the intention. But so long we are living in this time of corruption, okay, where the pure belief is so weak all around, okay? So it is actually, this is a suspicious situation. You see, we started with the suspicious situation. Fundraising is a suspicious situation regarding sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is better to be away from suspicion. But there are some people whom they only give in the fundraising because they are looking for the praise from the people. There are some people like this. This is their reality. This is the reality of their hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not, stop anyone from clarifying his reality. The good one will clarify his reality. The bad one will clarify his reality. This is the test of the worldly life. Okay? So, if the people will come to the masjid and ask it him, we want a fundraising and we will give money only in the fundraising, what he will do? He will make a fundraising. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the intention of everyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants everyone to have, the proof against himself in the worldly life. Those people whom they don't have the intention in their hearts, when they will say to Allah, "Oh Allah, it is only for your sake. I was giving in the fundraising only for your sake." They are not aware that Allah will tell them, "No, never. Your intention was not pure." Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their intention. Allah is allowing everyone to prove his reality. Okay? So now, inshallah, I will tell you the lessons which we are supposed to learn from these five rules related to the importance of the heart over the rest of the body, so that inshallah we will learn these lessons, then we will start to learn about the types of the hearts in the Quran. So the lessons which we learn from five rules, sister, is that number one, the heart is the place which Allah favors over all the parts of the body. Number two, the heart is the place of iman, faith, taqwa, fear of Allah and knowledge. Iman, which means the belief in Allah's oneness, is the most valuable thing that a human being can have. It is the determination of those who have believed in Allah, those who have accepted the message, and who have chosen paradise over hellfire. It is the distinction of those who have believe and those who have disbelief. The value of iman is more than all of the things of this worldly life. This is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that for Allah to guide you, to guide by your hands a single Muslim to Islam, is better than anything in this worldly life. You see, sister, this is what we are supposed to look for, to guide the people to Islam. Because guiding the people to Islam, one person, is better than anything in this worldly life. For you to help someone to find iman is better than any of the things in this worldly life. And iman is in the heart. Number four, even the highest deeds can be of no value if the hearts are sick. If the hearts are corrupt, that is to say, the intention lacks sincerity. In conclusion, the place of the heart occupies great intention in Islam. We have to spend much of our time observing, being aware of the state of our hearts. Let us have an example. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the first Khalifa after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was explaining to the people the status of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq over the rest of them. He said, Abu Bakr doesn't therapist you by performing more prayers and fast. Is not better than you because of his prayers or his fasting. There are among you those who pray and fast more, but by something which deeply has embedded in it itself in his heart, iman in his heart. That was where his superiority. You know, actually this is the value of the human being. The depth of the belief, the depth of the iman. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq had a belief which is equal to a nation. Okay? And because of that, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chooses him to be his companion when he immigrates from Mecca to Medina. And actually he is, inshallah, will be one of the people of the paradise. There is no other faculty in the human body and existence that a believer should be more concerned about than the heart. We have to make sure that this faculty, your heart, is functioning as Allah wishes it to function. We should be greatly concerned about our heart. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad, used to make a dua: I seek refuge in Allah, O Allah, from knowledge that doesn't benefit and from a heart which doesn't fear. The problem is not to have a heart. The problem is to have a sound, living a life, a heart which believes in Allah and fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, inshallah, we will start the second part of the class, which is to learn about the different types of the hearts in the Quran, so that inshallah you will choose the heart which you want to have inshallah. In the Quran there are different types of hearts, but basically they are of two types. Type 1, the sound, alive, healthy hearts. Type 2, corrupt, sick, sealed hearts. Today inshallah we will start to learn about the healthy, sound, alive hearts in the Quran and the different types of these hearts. Number one, we will start with the sound heart. We will read now from Surah 26, verse number 89, and Surah number 37, verse number 84, to know about the sound heart. Rahman Rahim. Now we will read about the sound heart, Surah number 26, and we will read verse number 88 and verse number 89. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The day whereon neither wealth nor sons will avail, except him who brings to Allah a clean heart, clean from polytheism and hypocrisy.
This is actually the clean, sound, pure heart which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept on the Day of Judgment. This is the only heart which is accepted on the Day of Judgment. We will read also about the sound heart from Surah number 37. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah As-Saffat, verse number 84. We will read also sister 83 and 84 so that we will understand the meaning. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَإِن مِّن شِيعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And verily among those who followed Noah's way, Islamic monotheism, was Ibrahim, when he came to his Lord with pure heart, attached to Allah alone and no one else, worshipping none but Allah alone, true Islamic monotheism, pure from the filth of polytheism.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is clarifying that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam had this pure heart, and actually sister clarified to us the meaning of the pure heart. The heart is attached only to Allah because of the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, devoted to Allah and has purity of belief in Allah's oneness. Okay, so this is the first type of the heart in the Quran, which is the sound heart. In Arabic, it is called al-qalb al-salim, because the different Arabic words, you know, it is different according to the different Arabic words. The second type of the hearts, of the good hearts in the Quran, or pure hearts in the Quran, is the comfort heart. We will read about it from Surah number 13, Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 20. Surah Al-Ra'd, Surah number 13, verse number 28. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Those who believed in the oneness of Allah and whose hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah, verily in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest.
Okay. Actually, this is a Quranic rule which every one of us believe in. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We must know, sister, that comfort is a profound reality in the hearts of the believers who deeply and truly feel the meaning of the faith. Those believers have a bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through that bond, this bond actually touches their hearts, generating a feeling of happiness and reassurance. When you have a bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are a true believer doing the good deeds, that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will all the time give you the feeling of reassurance that I am not standing alone in the universe. Whatever surrounds me is for my service. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all the creatures to serve me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect me. No one on the earth is more miserable than those who are deprived of the blessings of being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have severed the most essential bond with the Lord, they have no relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the most miserable because they will never feel comfort, reassurance, or a peace in their hearts. Why, sisters? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the heart is between two fingers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is changing the state of the heart. Okay? So I cannot feel comfort except by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, oh Allah, I have a lot of wealth. Oh Allah, I have everything. Oh Allah, I'm trying to enjoy time. But in reality, you will never feel the reassurance, the peace, the peace, tranquility, or comfort because your heart is not up to your worldly blessings which you have. Your heart is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't have the correct bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never feel comfort, reassurance, or peace. Okay? So, actually, we must realize this reality so that we will not suffer as those actually the true losers whom they don't have, whom they live their life as if they are living in a desert and they have to strive without the support, the guidance, and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, sisters, I need to clarify to you a very important fact. In life, we often experience moments which none can withstand it unless we are certain of Allah's support and protection, regardless of whatever resources of power may be we have at our command. Such moments can be faced easily by those who find their comfort in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the meaning of these sisters? The meaning of these sisters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us in the Quran that this life is a test. The meaning of a test, there are hardships and trials in the life of everyone. This is the true nature of the worldly life. So there must come moments in the life of every one of us which are so difficult that we cannot stand it without the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In spite of the fact we may have all the worldly blessings, But still, without the support, the help, and the hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are moments in life none can stand it. And because of that, many wealthy people commit suicide. In spite of the fact we have everything. Because there are certain moments in the life, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning the life of every one of us to have these moments. Those whom they have the bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will live these very difficult moments through the protection, the support, the help of the Lord. Because they are always in continuous relation with Him. But others whom they don't have the bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are always the great losers at that moment. These are the moments where the people start to have drugs, the moments where some people commit suicide, the moments where some people decide to divorce their wives or to escape their life, whatever abnormal decisions happened in the life of some people are happening. It is because of that moment which none can escape it, because it is part of the worldly life. So all the time try to look for the tranquility, peace and comfort of your heart through the bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give a lot of time and attention to your heart. The relation with my Lord. I am the slave of my Lord. I am obeying His commands because I love Him. And I love Him from the depth of my heart. Because of that love, I am always thankful to Him. And because I am thankful to Him, He is showering me more and more with His blessings. With this feeling, alhamdulillah, I can stand any moments in my life because I am living in the cave of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the cave of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these are the comfort hearts which are all the time living the reassurance and peace because these are the hearts connected with the Lord all the time. The third type of the hearts which we will learn today are the united hearts. This we will learn about them from Surah number 8, Surah Al-Anfal, verse number 62. Actually, it is verse number 63, but we read 61, 62, 63, so that inshallah we will have a clear idea about the meaning of these verses of the Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَإِنْ جَنَحُوا لِلسَّلْمِ فَاجْنَحْ لَهَا وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَإِنْ يُرِيدُوا أَنْ يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبَكَ اللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم إنه عزيز حكيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. But if they incline to peace, you also incline to it, and put your trust in Allah, verily, He is the all-hearer, the all-knowing. And if they intended to deceive you, then verily Allah is the all-sufficient for you. It is He who has supported you with His help with the believers, and He has united their believers' hearts. If you had spent all that is in the earth, you could have not united their hearts, but Allah has united them. Certainly He is almighty, all-wise.
Okay. So sisters, I think we all realize this fact nowadays because we don't have united hearts, subhanAllah, Muslims, mostly. We don't have united hearts. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is after this union of the hearts. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not all the hearts can be from these united hearts. Okay? There must be faith. Okay? In these hearts. The faith, when it touches people's hearts, it pours into them a mixture of love, familiarity, and compassion. That is certain to them and establish between them a firm and deeply rooted bond. The faith of Islam makes it appeal to mankind on the basis of pure love. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, some of Allah's servants shall have on the day of judgment a position so close to Allah that the prophets will love to have. His companion said, Messenger of Allah, will you please tell us who these people are? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are people who love one another for Allah's sake only. They have no relation of kinship or business interests with one another. By Allah, their faces are radiant with light, and they have light. They shall experience no fear or sadness when other people are taken by fear and sadness. You see, sister, this is the type of the heart which every Muslim has to look for. Okay? Because you will not feel the unity, you will not feel compassion, love with any of the people around you except when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor you with this type of heart. Okay? But that heart has a basic element which is faith. When you have the pure belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you believe that we are all slaves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you believe that none of us has a power or will, none is better than the other, when you believe that this life is the farm for the worldly life, for the hereafter, I am here for the test, I want to collect as many as I can of the good deeds so that I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inshallah I will have the paradise. So every human being in my life must be a way to have good deeds. If you have this kind of belief in your heart, I will be trying to get the good deeds through obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with my parents, with my husband, with my kids, with my neighbors, all the Muslims, non-Muslims whom they respect me. So I will be a source of good to all around me. If I have that heart, and Sister Masarat has that heart, Sister Yasmin has that heart, Sister Shannon has that heart, all praise to Allah. These are the united hearts. So the question is, why nowadays we cannot find these united hearts? Because the problem is in the purity of the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? If we again try to revise our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the word the life for me is just a farm for the good deeds. I am not looking for any position. I am not looking for any wealth. I am not looking for any benefit from any human being because they are just slaves, no power, no will, handful of dust. They are for me a way to paradise through doing the good deeds. Every human being in my life, I want her or him to be a source of good deeds, just good deeds. Nothing more than this because I believe that all the power is up to Allah only, and the provider is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so I am not looking for anything from anyone. If we live together with this belief, you have a relation with me for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have a relation with you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will never be envy, hatred, or pride between us at all. It is out of our hearts because we have the healthy, sound, alive heart, the heart which is full of the true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why I will have any bad relation with any human being if I am looking for that human being with all the good intentions? I don't have anything except the good intention because this is my goal. It is not out of nonsense. No, it is out of a goal. I want to have good deeds from Sister Yasmin and from Sister Masarat and from Sister Shannon. How? Through having the love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that inshallah on the day of judgment I will be in a position where the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to be like me. You see, sisters, this is the importance of the heart for the believer. When my heart will be this kind of heart or type of heart, you will have all the peace, reassurance, tranquility, no sadness. Okay, and because of that, Prophet Muhammad is saying they shall experience no fear or sadness. Why I fear anyone? I only fear Allah. And all praise to Allah, I am obeying Him the most I can. Alhamdulillah. Okay, why I feel fear? I don't fear any except Allah, and I am not sad with any human being. I never fear sadness. Through the human being, alhamdulillah, no sadness. Because they are just a way for a good deed. When I see a sister, I say to myself, I want to have good deeds through that sister. How? Helping her. Taking care of her. Telling to her a good word. Smiling in her face. As Allah commanded me, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other source of sadness in life is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praise to Allah. I am a true believer in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I accept the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, the meaning that it is the true believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, something good, he will be thankful to Allah. When he is living a hardship, he will be patient and he will be rewarded. All his life is a reward from Allah. Either he is thankful when he is living the blessings, or he is patient at the time of hardship, and the whole life is reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you live the patience with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is helping you to be patient, and the patient people, those as-sabirin, they will be rewarded with no limit. All praise to Allah. I am so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with any hardship, because it is my way for the unlimited reward. And I am living this life, all praise to Allah, after the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sister, this is the third type of the hearts, which are the hearts which are called the united hearts. Inshallah, next week we will continue to learn more and more about that kind type of hearts in the Quran, the good hearts. And then inshallah we will learn about the sick, corrupt hearts also, and inshallah gradually we will start to learn about the diseases of the heart and how to get rid of them inshallah in these classes about health, my goal in the worldly life. And now inshallah let us make that right. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله لي وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Amen. Oh Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Amen. Oh Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your word. Oh Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds to our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Inshallah.